Bienvenue sur la chaîne podcast de Ma Petite Forêt, un site d'éducation et de santé en forêt. Je suis Laura Nicolas et je vous souhaite la bienvenue. Bonjour à tous, je suis très heureuse aujourd'hui d'accueillir Monica qui vient nous parler depuis les États-Unis. Donc je vais m'adapter et parler en anglais pour que nous puissions échanger avec Monica. Hi Monica, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you for being with us and sharing your experience today. I have lots of questions for you, Monica, today, of course. Then I should maybe start with the beginning. No, would you mind sharing with us your story? Where do you come from? How did you get to practice nature-based education?
Sure. That is a big question, so I won't talk too long about it. But yes, my name is Monica Wiedel-Lubinski, and I came to this work in, I guess, sort of a roundabout way. I am from Maryland in the United States, and I grew up in a suburb of Washington, D.C., actually, and then moved out into a more rural county when I was a teenager. And I studied at Towson University in Baltimore, and I was studying art education to teach children K through 12, kindergarten through 12th grade. And while I was in college, I started working for a very small nature center. It was in a barn. There were some owls, there were some snakes and frogs and turtles and things. And so when I was there on the weekends, I was responsible for feeding and caring for these animals in the shop. And I started seeing the people at the nature center coming in from the trails. They had been hiking and they were beaming. They were so happy and excited from just the time outside. And I really wanted to know more about what they were doing. And that summer, I became an intern with their summer camps. I was already learning how to take care of the animals, and I loved being with children already. I was studying art, so I already wanted to be a teacher. But as soon as I started going outside, I realized I felt like I had missed a lot in my childhood. Now, I will say I had, even though I grew up in a neighborhood with, you know, all the houses were really close together and we would hop each other's fence to go into the backyard of our friends. So I was outside a lot, but not in the forest, not in the river. No, I didn't really have really wild nature experiences, even though I had done some gardening and growing some strawberries and things like that. It was limited. Mm. And when I realized this whole other world of being immersed in nature and how good it felt for me personally, and also just the light bulbs that would go off for the children, they could make these connections on their own. And it just felt like magic for me as a teacher, but also the wonder, just the it was so joyful. And so I knew right away. So in 1997, I started to run a program for children ages 3 to 5. And we would go outside, we would read stories about nature, we would meet animals, we would hike and play. And that's what it was. And that's still what it is in many ways. So I worked for that organization for almost 20 years. And wow. Yeah, and in that, I left there in 2016. So over that time, I ended up learning the ropes, learning what it meant to be part of this organization, and also really working with the children. I became a naturalist because I was outside and I was asking questions and children were asking questions. And that was how I learned what I know. I went on to get my master's in early childhood education. But all of my learning about being outdoors with children happened outdoors with children. When I left in 2016 from that nature center, I had founded a licensed and NAEYC accredited nature preschool. So that stands for the National Association for the Education of Young Children, NAEYC, mm-hmm. Which is a quite a lot of work for any program in the United States, but particularly for us as a nature preschool. So the nature preschool there at that center became really important in our region. We started a nature preschool conference, and in the very first year, 85 people came from all over. Whoa. Right away, we knew people, they want to know more and they needed to learn. And I was still new at the time of running this preschool, and I also wanted to invite other people so that I could learn from them. So again, that whole experience and being there and working with the children, coming to know what it meant to then find myself in a position where I was training the teachers of my staff. The program grew. So I also needed to hone my skills in working with teachers, supporting those teachers. Oh. So now, in 2016, I made the really difficult decision to leave and to found this association, the Eastern Region Association of Forest and Nature Schools, because I want to have a bigger effect. I want to be able to support many, many more teachers in this work. Now, when I left in 2016 to found this nonprofit, I reached out to many others knowing I can't do it alone. And they became the founding members and now board of directors for our organization. I was also approached at that time by a colleague, a wonderful researcher who I greatly admire. She's a mentor of mine. Her name is Mary Rivkin. She's done lots of work for decades about green schoolyard habitats. She approached me about co-teaching a course at a local university. And another colleague reached out and said, hey, we would like to have a forest kindergarten in Baltimore City. Could we do this in Baltimore City? Sure, why not? So I worked with them for 2 years in the Baltimore City government, which was very challenging, but we did it. And we, myself and two other amazing women, Monica French and Meppy Neal, they are the director and assistant director of Wild Haven Forest Preschool and Child Care. So that program continues to run, and it's a beautiful program and one of the best I know. And then from there, again, all this work has grown with this association, and we do tons of teacher training now to support so many different aspects of learning, supporting diverse populations. How can we be more inclusive? How can we make sure that we acknowledge indigenous perspectives of this land that we live and work on? We also are now offering as a program of our association, we do operate a forest preschool at a retirement community, and it is 100% outdoors as well. And we have those intergenerational pieces where we can also work with our elders. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to be short about that. That's how I got to be here in this place doing what I do.
Yeah, I'm sure you don't get bored any time of the day. What I find amazing in your background and in your curriculum is that you've been from teaching kids, taught by kids too, when they share with you all what they know about animals, rural areas, etc., to be a trainer, and now being the director of an organization who organized trainings. So you've been all along the way, and this makes a lot of experience. And I want to ask you this question. During your day, what do you love most? What do you find difficult on your, what aspects of your work do you prefer and the ones you have sometimes trouble with?
Well, right now what I'm having the most trouble with is the double-edged sword of spending so much time online. I can connect with you, which is amazing because you're in France. Technology is wonderful because we can reach a lot of teachers that way, but it definitely isn't the way that this is meant to be. So that I find really, it's challenging because so much of my work right now has to be this way. But to focus on the more joyful aspects of what I do, I really enjoy helping teachers problem solve. I really enjoy that. I love that teachers reach out, directors reach out, and they want to do good. They want to do good work for their children. You know, they need help. they want to take learning outside and they want to do it in a safe way, in an engaging way. And it makes me feel so great to know that I can share with them a little bit of what I know and then say, you know what, this person are in your area and they might be able to help you too. You know, so I feel like I call it connecting the dots, you know, trying to give people a network, help them find other people to keep growing with. So I do love that. I do love any opportunities I have to actually be outdoors with the children and with the teachers. I often find myself doing observations in people's programs to give feedback. You know, people that there's a lot of new programs happening right now. And people want to say, well, am I doing this right? Does this work? There's no one size fits all, but I really enjoy getting to observe and then helping teachers question their practice and make it very authentic for the places and the communities that they serve. I love that too.
And I want to end this too short interview, Monica, with the something you mentioned before. You just say that you really love being with teachers, helping them go through the all different parts of the job of an outside educator, outdoor educator. And what would be your advice for a teacher who wants to start from scratch? Because this is the type of people, this kind of people that may be listening to us. A lot of are looking for solutions, advices, not only about material aspects of the job, clothes, what do you do in the activities, but also about attitudes. They are looking for the right attitudes to have outside. So can you give us just one or two advice you think are really, really essential to know when you want to start teaching outdoors?
I think coming from a place of being humble and flexible. Those have to be two of the most important. I feel like in order to acknowledge the smallness of who you are and the connectedness of all the other parts of nature is humbling, to be able to acknowledge that. So I feel like we have to be open to that. And so much of that has to do with the empathy that then we feel for the other beings in our world, living, non-living. So that's why you'll find a thread of gratitude and compassion through these programs. So I feel like when you start from a place of saying, I know what I don't know, but I'm open and I'm part of this process. And it is an ongoing process for all of us as directors and as teachers. And also flexibility. You know, if we're outside in all of the elements, we have to be flexible. We have to be willing to embrace them. And we also have to be flexible in our thinking about how we facilitate learning and how children will attain learning and find their voice along the way. We can't pre-decide how that's going to look when we're using an emergent curriculum. Children are going to find the learning and direct the learning in many ways. And we need to be flexible and open, because that's really so much of what it's about. So I guess you could say in that way too, we're really taking our lessons from nature. Those are just two of the important traits.
Yeah, there's many. I wish you could be talking. Like, I wish so much to hear more about all your experience, and I'm glad to announce right now something we discussed earlier with Monica, which is the fact that I just invited Monica to come to France, and she accepted to give us a masterclass or some kind of conference. And this will happen next year in autumn if everything goes well. And I'll tell you more after that. But I'm so glad, Monica, that we can collaborate and that you share with us your experience, and not only your experience, but also your enthusiasm and your soul and your joy and your empathy, which are things that we actually need more and more when we are away from each other.
Oh, well, thank
Okay.
you.
Thank
I just
you.
appreciate the opportunity to share a little bit of my story because this work is spreading everywhere as it should. And I'm really happy to help in whatever way that I can. And I love learning from you too, Laura. So thank you. Thank you
Thank
so
you,
much.
Monica. Merci beaucoup, Monica. À très bientôt. Au revoir.
I've been wandering through these hills, and I ain't got no more pills, and the mean old wind won't blow no luck my way, and the world has made me strong, but it can't contain me long, for I got a mind to make these bastards pay. Don't you come round throwing lead, lest your wish is to get dead. 'Cause the iron on my hip don't tell no lies. Oh, and God can't save you here. He moved back east last year. Yeah, the dust will swallow up your mournful cry. This year is hard country. If you don't take these words to heart, you'll find your share of teachers give you some lessons round these parts. Justify your life.